You can begin taking your Bibles this morning and turning in the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at the 80th Psalm this morning, and as we begin to look there, the news events of this past week let us know without a doubt that we're heavenward bound. The rapture of the church is going to be soon and very soon. That is the great news in a world that is tribulating today. If you are a child of God, do you know that the next great thing that's going to happen is the shout's going to come, the trump's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And friends, it can happen in a moment. It can happen in a twinkling of an eye. It is on the horizon of our world today, because all over the globe, the nations of this present world are rattling their sabers. There is strife on every hand. There is strife in every land. And I want to encourage you, don't look around. Don't look at what is shaking. You get your eyes up on Jesus. He is the unshakable rock of heaven. He is our God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! He is the great I Am. And one day soon, He's coming for us. He's coming for the church. But we're still here. And while we're here, we've got to look around. And we've got to ask this question of our nation today, of America: is God finished with America? Well, you have your Bibles in Psalm 80, and I want you to rise this morning as we honor God with the reading of His Word. I'm going to begin in verse 12. And so if you're there, shout amen. Amen. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. In the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, in the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Would you bow with me in prayer? O Father, Lord, we need this prayer today more than we've ever needed it in all of our days. Lord, we are many people gathered here this morning in many different ages. Some have no perspective of what we're talking about today because modern history has not taught it. But, oh Lord, I just pray today that your word would break forth upon us. And I pray that if there is one soul here who has not yet said an everlasting yes to Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. But Lord, I'm also preaching this morning to Americans, of which we all are. And Lord, how we need to be on our knees today praying for our nation. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would drive us to it. We would repent of our sin, and Lord, that we would cry out for our nation, cry out for our children, and cry out for our families. And oh Lord, how we need you today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Our focus is going to be on verses 12 and 13, but we'll be looking at the psalm in its entirety. And I want you to note the question the psalmist asked: why hast thou broken down her hedges? And it's important for understanding to know that God had put hedges around his nation Israel. And the psalmist knew this because he asked the question, because now it seemed that God had removed the hedge. And so he asked, why hast thou taken down her hedges, so that all which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar, that is, the wild hog of the wood, does waste it. Waste what? The nation of Israel. And the wild beast of the field doth devour it. God took down his hedge. And the question for us, and the question is God finished with America? Has God taken down his hedge from America? Friends, we need to understand that in her present condition, America is sick unto death. And it grieves me that this nation that God has blessed more than we could ever ask, hope, or think, that we are soon going to hit rock bottom from which there'll be no repair. If our nation does not repent, if Christians do not take back America, if our nation does not repent and turn back to God, America is going to become a moldy crust in history's garbage can. And what we have here in Psalm 80 is the prayer of a patriot. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a patriot? Do you pray for your nation? As a citizen of America, do you pray for the nation? How would you define yourself as a citizen of America? You see, God desires to use this patriot here to teach us something this morning. And that something is how we are to be praying for spiritual restoration and revival. We hear much from the church. I hear it every week. I've heard it so much I'm almost sick of hearing it. Pastor, we need revival. Let's ask this. As an American, is that what you're praying for? As a child of God, is that what you're asking for in your own life? Oh, come, oh God, and revive me again. Deal with me, Lord. Make me what you would have me to be. And then beyond that, do you pray for the nation? Do you pray for our leaders? Are you praying for all of your fellow citizens, red and yellow, black and white, because they're all precious in God's sight? Look with me here, if you will, at verses 1 and 3 in this psalm. He cries out, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Verse 7. "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." How many of you know America needs to be saved today? There's people right here in this congregation this morning. I'm going to tell you need to get saved today. And if you're saved, you need to get committed to Jesus today. You need to surrender more of your heart to Jesus today, because Jesus is coming soon. This is a prayer for revival. It was a prayer prayed in desperate days. Let me ask you, have you ever seen a more desperate time in the United States of America than what we're witnessing right now? I haven't. Now, I got the advantage over some of you because I'm way on up there in age, and some of you is down there a little bit. So I got a little bit more experience, amen? It's all right you say amen. You know I said that right. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, he is way on up there. Well, it'd be all right. Have you ever seen a more desperate time in this nation? Now, there are four things that we need to learn from this patriot this morning, from this psalm, that are absolutely applicable to America today. And the first thing we discover is there was a great national despair. What was the despair? Well, that despair is spiritual sterility. And I want you to look at verse 4 of this psalm. "O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people?" Now, friends, it tells us right here that the people were praying. We pray in this church. Many of you pray outside of this church. We in America are praying, amen? We're praying. But he also lets us know here in this prayer that their prayer, not only was God not answering their prayer, their prayers were making God angry. And are you aware that the prayer of an unrepentant people is an insult to Almighty God? And so rebellion without righteousness is repugnant to God. America is praying. America even holds a national day of prayer in this nation, a day when all the big shots get together down there in the swamp we call Washington. Every so often they get together to pray, and some pray to Allah, and some pray to this God, and some pray to another God. But there used to be a day in America when we were one nation under God, and everybody understood it was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're praying. Yet the cesspools of iniquity are full and running over, and God is angry at the prayers of his people. You know, if you stop and think about it, we spend 6 days a week sowing wild oats so we can come to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. That's what's been happening in America for far too long. Is it any wonder this nation and this present world is in turmoil? So much of our praying is self-centered, not God-centered. Oh, God, just bless us. It doesn't matter what I've done, Lord. Oh, Lord, it doesn't matter what I'm involved in, Lord. Or even if you agree with me, God, you see, I think it's right. Oh, God, just bless me. And that's how we're praying too much of the time. That's the attitude of an arrogant nation. It's the attitude of ancient Israel. They were praying, but God wasn't answering. Their prayer made God angry. Is it any wonder America is writhing in distress, divided as never before? God is not going to bless an unrepentant people. And there was in this nation Israel so long ago spiritual sterility. And that spiritual sterility we read about in verse 4 is compounded by personal sorrow. Verse 5, thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in measure. Why? You see, Israel then, in America today, Israel was a nation baptized in tears. And America right now is being baptized in tears. And why? Because sorrow follows sin as sure as night follows day. And what the psalmist is describing for us is personal sorrow. Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the Bible teaches? When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we're seeing that in America. Our politics and our politicians throughout the nation have done nothing since 2016 but create a quagmire of heartache and division, and you can go all the way back to 2008. And if you read your Bible, you will discover that every nation that turns away from God gets the government it deserves. We are getting what we deserve. And so it shouldn't surprise us. We shouldn't go, oh, what's happening? We're getting what we deserve. That's what the Bible teaches. And when the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. How many of you are mourning today over America because of the wickedness of the government? It's time to take back America, because the Constitution says we the people and by the people. And it's time for the people to get a new government by voting in a new government. Oh, friend, it makes you wonder. When I look at America from my vantage point of being way on up there, it makes me wonder if oceans of tears, rivers of blood, and sea of sweat will be the price America must pay for her arrogance and her disobedience. Not only was there spiritual sterility, not only was there personal sorrow, but there was also national shame. Look at verse 6, if you will. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Do you know what God blessed America is known as in many parts of the world? The great Satan. There are demonstrations all over the world against America, and we have witnessed demonstrations, riots, and everything else in every major city, on every college campus, and this week, once again, in the capital of the United States. No longer is America respected for her ideals. No longer is America respected for her morality, her leadership, her moral strength. And it's a shame, family and friends. It is a shame that our nation has lost both its spiritual and moral compass. It breaks my heart that God could say of our nation, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. It wasn't too long ago that the leader of this nation simply said, when there was a might be somebody attacking, he gave this one word, don't. Don't. And the world laughed because there is no strength. You want to know how weak America is? You just look at the physical condition of our current president, and that'll let you know how weak America is spiritually, morally, militarily, and in every other way. And the nations of the world laugh. Did you ever think you would see pro-Hamas terrorists terrorizing Washington, burning the American flag? What has happened to God bless America? And the psalmist is speaking about a nation filled with great national despair. There had been a glorious national design, and the key words are, there had been. Once long ago in America, there had been. And once long ago in ancient Israel, there had been. Note what he says to us in verses 8 to 11 here. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. And what he's talking about here is how God led ancient Israel out of Egypt through great miracles. God had broken down the gnawing and tormenting chains of slavery. They had come by God's amazing grace into the promised land, and God planted them in the promised land. And note how he describes it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with a shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. And what God is saying to us is there had been a glorious national design. This nation was divinely planted. God planted the nation of Israel. And I want to say there is a striking parallel to Israel of old and America today. The two are not the same, but they're not synonymous. But I do believe that God planted, God ordained, and God blessed America, because no nation ever had such a Christian beginning as America. Now, Israel was a vine planted by God, and yet Israel forgot God, and judgment came. And the American dream was placed into the bosom of our founding fathers by God Himself. The original colonies that came to these shores were founded because of the Christian faith. Do you know that in 1620, when the pilgrims came to America, they came seeking religious liberty and freedom from tyranny? And today in America, the church is fighting for religious freedom and freedom from tyranny. they huddled beneath the decks of that little Mayflower ship and wrote the Mayflower Compact, which begins with these words, "In the name of God, amen." And they wrote in their compact that their voyage to these shores was for, and I quote, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." But do you know that's not what's being taught in our government schools? No, what's being taught is a revisionist history. A revisionist is someone who wants to rewrite history. And I will ask you to listen very carefully to what former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Earl Warren, had to say. And it's very important that you listen to this, because by no means or no stretch of the imagination could anyone ever call Chief Justice Earl Warren a right-wing Christian. And there was a time when you would go up and down the highways of America and see signs that would say, "Impeach Earl Warren." There were people who thought of Earl Warren as being part of the liberal left. And so you must understand what Earl Warren said in light of the fact that he was not known as part of the Christian right. And I am quoting from a speech he gave in 1954. And for all you young people, history is important. From Time Magazine. This is the former Supreme Court Chief Justice, and we're talking about the fact that America was divinely planted. And this is what he said, and I quote, "I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing the good book," talking about the Bible, "and the spirit of the Savior, which we have from the beginning been our guiding genius. Whether we look at the first charter of Virginia or the charter of New England or the charter of Massachusetts Bay or the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present: a Christian land governed by Christian principles." Do you know anything spoken like that today as PC? Do you know what PC stands for? Politically correct. I've never been interested in being politically correct. I don't think that's a shock to any of you. I'm interested in being biblically correct. What about you? And so I hope you understand that. You can't say this today, but here's what he said. "I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of our forefathers had of the Bible and their belief in it. Freedom of belief, of expression, of assembly, of petition, the dignity of the individual, the sanctity of the home, equal justice under the law, and the reservation of the powers to the people. I would like to believe that we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. I would also like to believe that as long as we do, no great harm can come to our country." And I'm talking about the fact that America, like Israel, was divinely planted. And as a nation, we once knew that. That's the reason our national hymn declares, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King." Don't ever think the United States doesn't have a king. Our King is in the heavens. Our King ruled in the heavens, and there was a day when we believed that and we sung about it. Our forefathers believed in the separation of church and state, rightly understood, but never for a moment did they believe in the separation of God and government. Israel was divinely planted, and she divinely prospered. And the psalmist wrote, "The hills were covered with the shadows of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river." And the prophets of ancient Israel taught the right of personal property ownership. They taught the dignity of work. They taught honor God, and Israel prospered. America once honored God. America once taught about God. Many of you who have been born after 1963 do not know that. because in 1963, prayer was taken out of school. We took prayer out so we could bring cops in. We got rid of the Ten Commandments because, God forbid, somebody might read them and believe them. We took them down in the schools. Thank God Oklahoma and Louisiana have said they will be put back up in the schools. Listen, there it was a time in America. No nation, friend, ever had the prosperity of America. Do you realize America only makes up 4% of the world's population? And from that 4% of the world's population, we stood strong. We stood for God. We stood with God. And God blessed us like no other nation has ever been blessed. We fought wars to protect the freedom and the rights of others from tyranny. And America was blessed, but no more. We have become a nation. We have fallen so far from grace because we no longer honor God. The fruit of prosperity that God gave to ancient Israel and America was for the glory of Almighty God. And there was a day when every American understood that we're free with the freedoms we have because we honor God, we live for the glory of God, we praise God, we worship God, and most of all, we obey God. Not anymore. Look at verse 15. In the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted in the branches that thou madest strong for thyself. When you honor God, hell can't come against you. When you honor God, even if hell comes against you, you're going to stand. You're going to be blessed. God will take care of the enemy. God will fight for you. God did not bless America so that our theology could be replaced as it has been with meology, where people could talk and live as if God is dead. I want to assure you, God is not dead. And one day, very soon, at a time you know not, you are going to meet him. And you are going to stand before God because the Bible says, so then every one of us must give an account of himself unto God. And so, God didn't bless America where we could live arrogantly and claim that the Word of God needs to be changed, that it's not important anymore, that I can do what I want. After all, I'm my own God. All that matters is self and self alone. No, Israel was divinely planted. America was divinely planted. Israel prospered. America prospered. And Israel was divinely protected, and America has been divinely protected. Look again at verse 12. The patriot is asking a question. Why hast thou broken down her hedges? In Bible times, when a man would plant a vineyard, he'd put a thick hedge of thorns around it to keep out predators and thieves. God said, I planted this vine, and I put the hedge around this vine. God planted America, and God put a hedge around America, and God has protected America for 248 years. We have been protected in a war-torn world. God put a hedge around America, and we knew it. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Israel's first line of defense and America's first line of defense has always been God Almighty. Listen, when you only make up 4% of the world's population, that means 96% of the world is against you, amen? And God has divinely protected America for 248 years. We are the longest lasting world power in the history of all the world powers of the world. It's not alliances, and it's not weapons of war that have protected us. It is Almighty God. And Almighty God in times past protected America, and there was a time when all Americans had the sense that God's hand, his right hand of blessing was upon us. But I want you to know, we come to the fourth thing, a grave national danger. And at this point in our history, We are at a point of grave national danger. God had put a hedge around Israel, but then God broke down the hedge. God had put a hedge around America. What is the significance of 9/11? God took down the hedge. Do you realize that was the first time that America was attacked on her mainland? God tore down the hedge of America, and we were attacked on our mainland. And God said, I'm taking down the hedge. You better repent. You better return. You better get right. And America did not. Instead, she has gotten worse. She's gotten more amoral, more immoral, more corrupt than ever before. Have you ever thought about the doctrine of the hedges? Do you know, do you remember the story of Job in the Bible? That the devil could hardly wait to get his hands on Job. Oh, how he wanted to get after Job. And he said to God, the only reason Job serves you is because you have prospered him. You protect him. I can't get to him because you built a hedge around Job. Every time I try to get at Job, there's your hedge. Take down that hedge and let me get at him. You can read all about this in Job chapter 1. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? There is a doctrine of the hedges, and the devil cannot get through. And what God had done for Job, God has done for nations. But on 9/11, when God took down the hedge, Satan came into America, and America has become more immoral, more evil than she has ever been in the history of our nation. God did it for Israel. God did it for America. And listen, God is talking about Israel right now. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel, and God said, I founded this nation. I protected this nation. I brought you out of the bonds of slavery. I brought you out of the torment of tyranny. Now I am going to take down the hedge. And likewise, God planted America. America was founded on Christian principles by our founding fathers. For 248 years, America has been going strong. Well, I want to tell you something. Since about 1995, we've heard we're no longer a Christian nation. Poppycock. As long as I'm in this world, I'm a Christian. We're still a Christian nation. I'm part of this nation. What about you? We don't need to believe the devil's lies. We don't need to be politically correct. We need to stand up. We need to take back America. And God is just saying, I've taken down the hedge because America, like Israel, is bringing forth wild grapes. The wall. Our borders. God's hedge designed to protect us are broken down. Our southern border is a sieve through which every kind of evil is coming in. Drugs that are killing our children. Terrorists into our nation. What was the result of Israel's hedge of protection being taken down? All that which pass by the way do pluck her. External danger from her enemies without, and internal danger from her enemies within. Now, friends, I don't care where you stand, but I will tell you something. There is something wrong when an American congressperson is giving credence to the Palestinians and their evil and their tyranny. There's something wrong in that. America has always protected people. We have always said what is wrong is wrong. We have always tried to do what is right, but no more, and not for a long time. Internal danger from corruption within. How many of you would agree with me that the American politics are absolutely, utterly corrupt? Look at verse 13. The poor, the wild hog of the wood wasteth. Friends, a hog is not only content to eat the fruit, the hog deals with the root. Something is happening in America that is very un-American because America has become so amoral. We no longer can tell the difference between right and wrong. We no longer tell the difference between good and evil. We've become so immoral, so corrupt, so vile. A tidal wave of filth has been sweeping across America. God gave us a wake-up call. It began in 1963. God gave us a wake-up call at 9/11. We would not listen. We wouldn't hear it. Crookedness, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, divorce, murder, lust, dope, vice, you name it. We say America is number one, and you're absolutely right. She is number one in homosexuality. She's number one in radical feminism, number one in divorce, number one in the destruction of family values, number one in abortion, number one in political correctness, number one in the occult practices, number one in the secular humanist New Age religion movement. That's America today. And it is time for us as Christians to speak up, to speak out, and to take back America by standing on God's truth. It is time for the pulpits of America and preachers in America to stand in behind God's sacred desk and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." I want to tell you, Kamala Harris and Donald J. Trump are not the hope for America. The only hope for America is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and this Word of God. This is the only hope for America. And if we will not humble ourselves, and if we will not repent of our sins, if we will not turn back to God, do not be surprised, do not be shocked, if the answer to the question is, God finished with America, an absolute yes, I am. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, on the one hand, you are America's only hope. But on the other hand, Lord, you are America's biggest threat. Father, this morning I ask that you hear thou our prayer and forgive us for expelling you. Father, from our schools and from our government. Oh, Father, I ask that you remember you are rich in abundant mercy, and though we don't deserve it, we need your abundant mercy on our nation that has had its hedges torn down. And, oh, Father God, this morning I pray you would send your Holy Spirit of conviction upon this once God-blessed America, that you, oh Lord, would turn us from our sins, from our self-centeredness, that you would turn us back to you. Father, we pray this morning as the patriot psalmist prayed, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Lord, we look to you this morning and humbly beseech you today for that which we need most, the deliverance from sin unto salvation, and a gracious national deliverance from sin, and a holy return unto you. In Jesus' name I pray this morning, and all of God's people said, amen.